Cancer.org, episode 681. It's Cumbria Waits. We have an interview with evil brother Simon Mi. His name on the forum, if you want to search for it on the top right under member, S-I-M-O-N-E-M-E. And you could check out his post. You could check out his log. He has a really, really cool log going. I really am enjoying looking through it. And we're going to go over everything about him. We're going to talk a little bit about Italy culture as well. So it's going to be a fun episode. He has a lot of cool stuff that he's up to. We're going to get into all that stuff. His current log is called First Sustenance Log 250 Log. And he's 37 years old. And he started the log at 83 kilograms. So, and he's 185 centimeters tall. So we're going to get into all that on the podcast. Let me remind everyone, we are on Apple. We are on Spotify. Smash the like button. Make sure you're subscribing. We would love to get the algorithms going and get the podcast more and more popular. With that said, Mobster, please introduce Simon to us.
Yeah, listen, guys, we talk about having different kinds of people on from all over the world, India, Canada, Australia, America, the UK. I think Simon might be our first Italian guest that we've had on. And as per all of these shows, it's different times of the day for Steve. It's different times of the day for me. And it's different times of the day from Simon. So listen, for you taking the time out of your day straight after work to come onto this show, and allowing us to interview you for the benefit of listeners. Hopefully we learn, we maybe teach you something, so on and so forth, is super important to us. So thank you for Steve, for myself, for the members, the listeners, and the moderators and the bosses of the forum. Thank you for taking time out of your day straight after work to come on and do your show with us, Simon.
Simon, you there?
Me?
Yep, there we go.
Okay, yeah, so yeah. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for the space you gave me to talk here. Just sorry for my accent. I try to do my best. My English is just working English. And what I can say. I can speak in this way. So
it's a lot better than our Italian fella. So, yeah, don't worry about it.
They say so. Sometimes they exchange me for Spanish when I go abroad. So and as you have introduced me, I'm Italian. I'm almost 38 years old, actually, and I have never been so involved into sports that much because, as you already know, maybe I have always had, poor genetic, because I came from a family of non-sportive people, mostly intelligent people, mathematics, physics people, or engineer people. So we just watch; they just watch sport in TV. So
Simon, what we put, you're intellectual, not athletic background.
Yes, exactly. And I'm the exact contrary of them. Actually, I'm not that athletic, but I do prefer athletic stuff than smart stuff and so on.
So can you share with us the sports in Italy growing up that you watched and your family watched, or did you grow up in a different country? Yeah.
For sure. Especially my home team, which has been playing in Europe for several years, since 1992, I believe. And due to a big company, local investment, that bought several good players from all over the world. And we have been very, very famous. And my local team used to win a lot. And in that period, I was 5 or 6 years old, I believe. We used to have 15 seasonal tickets in my family. So I was being grown up with my father, told me about our team, our city, and everybody used to go to the stadium with the most, the hottest part of the stadium, standing area and everything. So I've been raised in this way. And since then, I used to always go to the stadium each Sunday, each Saturday, and also away matches, because I have a lot of friends in my town, which is not so big. So we know everybody, each other, and we go each other to the stadium together. And Italian football is very passionate, so it's a big family, how we can say.
So Italian football is what we would call soccer, right? It's where you
It's football in Italian, like in England.
Yeah. Okay.
Sorry, Steve. Just to interrupt, two things really. One, as the people can be by nature, by reputation, the Italians are passionate and specifically about sport. So, like the English, sometimes when we've had our hooligans, This is for the
Exactly,
American
the same.
listeners. It's for the American. They can hate you and love you in the first 5, 10 minutes. If you're scoring a goal, if we're winning, we love you. And then the next thing, they've cast in death threats. And then the next thing, they're loving you again. So it's very up and down, very kind of
Yes,
crazy.
exactly.
I want to
Exactly.
touch one of the things that you mentioned in your notes to me, and I think I'm going to bring a small percentage of our audience in here. Not every person listening to this show is set up to be a great athlete. I was kind of gangly till I was 15, and I'm kind of guessing from what you told me in your notes, our little discussion, that he says his family was more. Yeah, so you said your leverage was a bit weird. You kind of didn't run well. You didn't play sports well. So you went to see sports. It's a big deal for your family and your town, but you yourself wasn't suited to sports for a long time. Talk a bit about that.
It's like a sort of belonging to something, if I got your point. I mean, it's more like connected to your stand your ground, your city, your friends. You are from your city, so you support your team. That's it. And mostly because, for example, most of the majority, not the majority people in town, but many people in town do support bigger teams, no? Which used to win many trophies, and they are not teams from my town. So, you have this sense of honor, let's say, and this sense of belonging to your small city that can sometimes win, sometimes lose, but at least you are yourself. It's like that, if you got me.
Yeah, but I was thinking more in terms of your physical self. You said in your notes to me something to the effect of because of the intellectual versus the physical, you wasn't an athletic person. We've had other guests on and they played soccer. We've had other guests on and they played American football, or they boxed, or they
I got
wrestled.
it. I got it. I mean, I you're asking if I do watch sports, but I don't play sports, something like.
Okay.
Yes, it's the point. I mean, it's more. I mean, you're right. Actually, I don't understand anything about football. I mean, I can understand the rule. I can see the match. I can see when they play good or play bad. But most of the people that are really involved into watching football, they are like technician or made technician. How can I say? So everybody can be the trainer of the team, but that's not my case. I mean, I cannot speak about strategies, substitution, and everything. I just go there to give my support to the team, and hopefully we win. That's the point. And anyhow, the connection is more like to the territory, more than the player myself. And the point is that many players in Italy, they arrive and they go for the money. So they don't feel belonging to your team. So I'm not there to support a specific football player. I'm there to support their jersey, actually.
I hear you on that. Yeah, same way up. So talk about the injuries before we kind of get into your training. And by the way, you could check out Simon's pictures on his log, and he doesn't give himself enough credit. I think he has an excellent physique. He's got a six pack. He does a lot of Olympic style training and the CrossFit. He does, the squats, and he's got pictures of him doing squats. He doesn't give himself enough credit. I think he looks fantastic. And that's what we do on the forum. We support each other. Tell us about the injuries that you've been through. When did they start? Did they start when you were a young age, or did they come on later on in life?
So, as far as I can remember, let's say I had always have some problems with my right knee in particular, because I remember that I've never reached the full extension on my right knee. I mean, I didn't give it much importance because I was thinking, come on, everybody lays on a preferred leg, let's say. So mine is left and the other people is right, maybe. But in the end, when I started to test myself against lifting, against squats, running, and everything, I discovered that actually I was missing some degrees in my right knee. And this degree missing went out into a cartilage consumption. And after all, I have had after that, I had a bad injury in the gym during, like, I believe during a power clean. I don't remember actually, but my knee became like as big as an orange, actually. And I had been to stay away from the gym like for 2 weeks or something. And then I got like an RX If you put, if you know the term, I mean, magnetic stuff on the knee. I don't know, magnetic picture on the knee. On the knee.
Ultrasound or
Yes,
MRI, I
that's it.
believe you're talking about.
That's
Yeah,
it.
yeah, yeah.
So sorry for my. I can make myself understand at least. So after that, we decided to start with the orthopedic, with the hyaluronic acid injection, which gave me a lot of. I mean, they gave me quite well movement on the knee, and I can walk and I do whatever I want. But lately, in the last 2 years, the injury happened like in 2019, actually. But in the last
Okay.
2 years, what happened it was that the consumption of the hyaluronic acid was very quick, and I started to have some contractures on the muscles around, and always being sore, even walking. And so I decided to go with a more visceral product, which is the hyaluronic acid cross-linked. But the cross-linked acid, they explained me this morning in particular, that it's like chemical substance, a more chemical substance that sometimes your body can recognize as an external substance and can react in a bad way. And that's what it happened to me. Because after the last injection I did in October, my knee got as big as a melon this time, and I had been forced to stop like for 2 weeks. And no, 2 weeks, no, 1 month actually of stop, because I wasn't able to walk at all. I got the liquid suction the night after the injection, because my knee was very, very big. And this morning I went again to the doctor for other problems in my shoulder, which maybe we can talk later. And this doctor told me, okay, don't use it anymore because it's gonna happen again with the cross-linked acid. So we can try another product, and they will assist you with more frequent injection, but the cross-linked has this side effect. That's what he's saying. So it will happen again. And let's treat the problem in another way before you get the prosthesis, because I believe that my destiny is the prosthesis. But as you know, the prosthesis has like how can I say, a lifetime an expectation of degrading like about 15 years at least in Italy. So they are testing now the new prosthesis, and before that we have to wait for the new prosthesis to be tested, like maybe for 20, 25 years. And actually, I'm 38. I cannot think about opening my knees 2 or 3 times because my knee will get very big, and surgery is surgery. So as long as I can resist, I will keep on with the hyaluronic acid, which actually allowed me to do front squat and everything I need.
Let me interrupt for a second here. So, and this is more for the
Yes.
benefit of listeners because you're in the middle of this experience right now. I'm going
Yes.
to say for the listeners, because me and Simone have had a chat before. I've looked at some of the stuff that he's presented, and in a perverse kind of way, right? It's remarkable that he's able to do some of the things that he is able to do. One of these chosen sports now is CrossFit, and I was going to give Simone some shit because I was going to say, you've got this fucked up knee, and here you are doing stuff that kind of fuck you up sometimes. CrossFit injuries are very common because of the nature of the
Yes.
workout of the day and how physical it is. And yet at the same time, he's to be congratulated because if he comes from a non-athletic background with issues and still gets to the fucking gym and still takes part in the sports that he loves, that's to be congratulated on. So that's fantastic. I do agree, and
Thank
maybe
you.
Steve and I can Steve and I can comment on this now, Steve. The less surgery he has, or the longer he has before he has to have surgery, I've got to say I agree, because then you've got the recovery and they might have to do more surgery in the future. He was mentioning the notes to me, Steve, about the possibility for a prosthetic, are you getting the knee replaced, and so on and so forth. He mentioned some of the things that he's already done. Steve, what would you think, for example, about maybe BBC or TB, and also about the surgery thing that Simon brings up?
Yeah, definitely. I think the healing peptides are definitely worth a shot. Ahead of time, I've seen some really, crazy stories from guys who've had, especially with the knees and stuff. I know it's helped a lot with my shoulders. Have you looked into some of these healing peptides, or is it something that you haven't really looked at yet? Simon?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now.
Okay, I did a cycle of the 157 one. How do you call it? Yes,
The BBC,
exactly. I did like I believe 1 month and a half, 1 month and something in my shoulder, because I had the long arm, is it called the tendon? How do you call it? The tendon that goes in the biceps. I got a pinched tendon there, so I tried with local subcutaneous injection. And actually, I cannot say if it helped or no in taming it down a bit. But actually, the point is that yesterday I got manipulated by my physio, and it went good. Today I got an injection of steroid with the guidance, with the echography guidance from the doctor. And I believe the full package, actually, the peptides, plus the massages and plus the injection, happened. So I believe that it's an important piece of the puzzle, in my opinion.
This is what I'm thinking as maybe a holistic approach to something we discuss on other shows. And again, I'm sure you're already doing stuff like this. We constantly tell the guys on the forum, if they get injured, you must do the rehab. You must listen to the physio. You must don't leave it until you get badly injured and go and see the doctor. And again, Simon here is a good example of someone who is working with physio, has been to see the doctor, is trying to get us healed as much as possible. In some ways, Steve, I think he kind of does himself in the terms of the notes that we shared. It would feel like reading initially that he would be very bad. And yet, ironically, I'm just going to read this off the screen in front of me. Overall, I'm satisfied because he boxes, Steve. He does Muay Thai. He says, I'm not a natural acrobat, but he has done Olympic lifting. Has done calisthenics, didn't play soccer because he wasn't athletic, and yet he does CrossFit. So arguably, the way he was written, you think, oh, he's not a natural sporting person. But in reality, he's doing multiple sports. The workouts of the day, he mentions one here, Steve. One workout in a day, 30 minute with a partner, 120 snatches at 60 kilos, 120 muscle ups, and 120 back squats at 80 kilos from the ground. This sounds very fucking athletic to me, Steve. So with the injury, with the issues, with the background, and then he determines that he's going to fucking do these things. And he tell us a little bit some how much you like doing these sports, how they give you an enjoyment, because I'm guessing you wouldn't do that if they fucking hurt or was a punishment.
It more and more, because the more I do it, the more I can do it. That's the point. So you have to practice it, and you can succeed in it. The demanding is very high, as you suggested, because it is very taxing on yourself, on your body, and on your nervous system as well. And passing from a discipline to another discipline is not for everybody. Actually, jumping down from a rope and picking up a barbell and jumping on a box and doing a muscle up all in a row is not for everybody. But it keeps your mind working, actually, and
Yes,
it gets you used to multiple, how can I say, multiple different inputs from different kind of fatigue, how can I say. So to me, it has been very helpful, because each time it tests me in a different way. And if you can as well get a good cardio on it, you can also pace down correctly and focus and try to do the things with a good technique, calming down with a good weight. It's nice. I
So
really
it's
love
okay,
it.
yeah. So talk about a little bit more about your training I'm going through here. I'll give you an example. You posted this back on April 1st on your log. You did wall walk, muscle ups, clean and jerk, 80 kilograms. I
Yes.
used to do those back in the day, by the way. Those are really, really challenging. Devil press, alternate single dumbbells, and deadlifts. And so Mobster, yeah, Mobster can kind of talk to you about that as well. He's really big on training. But tell us about a little bit about this training. Is this kind of your typical training? It's more of a CrossFit style training type of thing. Is this what you're pretty much depending on?
So actually, I split my week in two halves. In the past, I used to do only CrossFit, but in the end, I understood that it's too much taxing on myself, and I need to build muscles as well. So I started doing like in the morning, in the Monday and Tuesday, for example, I do CrossFit, full CrossFit. That's because with this approach, I can let's say burn all the bad fat on the cheat day of the weekend, let's say. So CrossFit really helps you on core stability, abs, and everything. And
Yes.
then maybe if I'm not too broken, let's say on Wednesday, I do CrossFit again. But I have this year, I started this year with this approach. I got a seasonal ticket on my gym next to my house, actually, which is a 24-hour open gym. So I go there
Okay.
early in the morning, maybe because it's very overcrowded in the afternoon. And I do like 1 hour of whatever I like. I mean, I split muscular groups. I try from squats, from the rack. I do presses. I do dumbbells, back, depending on any hour up there. I follow like a normal split, like 1 day leg, 1 day the back, 1 day push. So actually, it's like a normal gym. I like doing maybe for example for the chest I do one exercise like for strength and two or three exercises for hypertrophy for growing muscles with eccentric, you know. So I do a mix of stuff, but actually it's really working, especially for my delts, for legs. I got really good gains also that they can apply in CrossFit.
So here's the thing, Steve. I mean, look, right? There's a predisposition if you're not prepared for CrossFit to injure people, and you're arguably they can be amongst the fittest muscular all-round athletes in the world because of the diversity of the workouts of the days, because of the nature of the beast. The problem is, and I wouldn't even call it a problem. I'm going to go in a different direction. You find this might apply again for listeners. You find something you're passionate about that. In this case, say for example, workout of the day challenges you. And in doing that, the thing isn't necessarily this might hurt, might be uncomfortable. It's literally overcoming that challenge. And if that makes you go back to the gym again and again and again and again, I could give it shit all day long. I could say, oh, there's way too much of this and it wouldn't suit me. Little. If it makes you go to the gym and if it gets you into shape, if it gets you out of bed in the morning, then it's a good thing. If it makes you get into shape and be great condition, I'm looking at again his profile picture in great condition compared to most 37, 38-year-olds. That's what's important. I would probably suggest, and I know, for example, that Lev's actually giving him some advice on a support stack, a supplement stack. I would probably say maybe I would have him work specifically on some sort of knee rehab so that he can get more time before the surgery. Maybe 1 or 2 days, not just training what he likes, that's not CrossFit, but more supportive and more rehab and preparatory to go back and be a better CrossFitter in the future. But again, guys, if you can just get to the fucking gym and do something you like, that's important. Steve doesn't train the same as me. I don't train the same as Seaman. We're all different kind of guys and we're all here plugging away. So that's super, super important. Talk a little bit about now, if you don't mind, because I think it's kind of a relatively short thing for you, that you're coming into the first time you use steroids and your experience that you've got here. For example, he mentions, I'll just read this out very quickly, that he was looking at the Eroids portal and then Evolutionary and needed someone to give him guidance and so on. So he started with blood tests. Lev gave him some advice. So talk a little bit about your experience. Limited or otherwise, with using steroids.
Wrote in my log as well. I started a little bit with SARMs in the past, but SARMs is a product that they sell it like without any kind of advice, so you don't know how to use it. So I tried a bit. I get more muscular, but I didn't understood what I was doing actually with that. So I, as you suggested, as I told, I looked it on the internet and I found out Evolutionary Family, and I understood that I. This forum could be very helpful for myself for learning a lot of things. And after that, I convinced myself to start with Sustanon just because I heard and I read that it was like a simple product, just maybe one pin per week, and you are done, and to see how to react and try to test, blood test, and see how do I react to that and learn to use the AI and everything else. And after that, I wasn't sure to keep it on, so I tried last summer a PCT, but it was very hard for me, and it was very I lost almost 2 or 3 kilograms of muscles during the PCT, maybe because I didn't do it properly, but the PCC wasn't my cup of tea actually. So talking with the most helpful person I found up there, that is Lev, we
Yes.
discussed about the TRT, maybe a small TRT, like a small cruising, and I started with that in October, last October, and it was very good for me. And after that, I started in January with a mini blast, we can say, with Tess, Deka, and Boldenon. And this went very good because I wanted to boost some kilograms. And actually, I went from 81 kilograms in the winter, last winter. Now, actually, I'm at 87 with 13% of fat. So this balancing with aerobic activity in CrossFit and everything. So I believe that the next cut I will do in few months, which I will try microdosing trend, something like that, with microdosing muscle as well, to see how many muscles I can keep from this bike. And actually, it's all reported on my log, and I'm followed by Lev and other members, and I believe it's a good approach. I mean, I feel okay. I don't have too many mood swings. Like, I mean, I have like everybody. So, no side effect, no issue to hide. I am always horny. I can say that. So my missus is happy. And that's it.
Yeah, I'm looking at 6 kilos for the American listeners is 13 pounds. So that's fantastic results. He says
Yes,
here,
it
even
is.
during that, in the January cycle you did, you said you had a little bit of a shoulder injury, but was still doing, this is a great number here, Steve, 30 clean and jerks with 80 kilos, 176 pounds, muscle ups, 80 kilo deadlifts and devil presses. He's also, again, as he mentioned, Lev already, I mentioned the supplement stack. And then you said just now you're thinking about what you might apply for the future. And one of the, I like the phrase that you mentioned here. You said you call that the mental game, because obviously it's a, some of what you're doing now is how these things affect you. 37, 38 year age, you're probably getting right on the cusp of where you want to be for TRT. It starts to drop off around then. How have you felt? Let me ask you that question. How did it affect you mentally being on steroids or being on TRT? Just as an experience for people to get into.
The feeling is being like, I mean, I wake up in the morning, I feel normal, I feel happy, I feel that I have the level of energy that I want to have. In the past, when I used to do CrossFit, for example, I used to wake up in the morning working like a mummy for 2 hours, like, oh my God, who made me do this? And something like that. Now, okay, I'm tired, I feel my muscles sore sometimes. But the point is that my energy is normal. I mean, I cannot say I feel like a 20-year-old guy because I am not. But you feel okay, actually. You can walk around like, I mean, like you don't exaggerate in the gym, but actually I do exaggerate. So it's a good feeling, actually.
It can be difficult for people to describe, but it's that. I think the
Yes.
phrase might be capable. I feel capable. Whereas
Yes,
previously,
that's
you
it.
didn't always feel capable. So you
That's
might have been
it.
able to do stuff. And now you go, you know what? I feel tired, but I still know I can go and kick ass. I still know, even if I'm tired from yesterday, I still know I can go to the gym. I like that, Steve. Have you any questions on his steroid use for yourself,
Yeah,
Steve?
what's your future look like with steroids? Do you plan on getting the knee fixed 100% and then starting to run more aggressive cycles? Or are you going to kind of just take a wait and see approach to this?
I believe that at the moment I feel pretty stable with the hyaluronic acid and stuff. So I believe that in June maybe I or what is it now? April, maybe May I can have my blood tested again and do like 8 weeks. I will try microdosing tren and max, but not so high numbers like 70 grams per week starting. And maybe if the first 4 weeks goes okay, maybe I can double a little bit and see how where I'm going. If I don't get crazy, if I don't lose my mind with trend, hopefully not. And that's it. I would really like, because I'm a
Let,
curious
let, let me
person,
read
actually.
let me read something out. Let me read something out, because I'm just looking at this now, and it is great, Steve, because again, it's an insight more into the mindset. So there's a section that he sent me called The Motivation, and one of the lines, he's put this in bold himself: I want to be able, even with my goal is to recover my shoulder injury and give it a real push with the training. And then he writes, I love this line: I want to launch barbells into the air in the faces of those who underestimate me. He then goes on to say, to be honest, I don't care. Again, it's just the way you've written it. It's really, really cool. Nature did not give me what I wanted, so I am taking it for myself. This is the way it's read. So what I like
Yes.
here, and this is again for listeners and Steve and myself, we're probably same as you. You want
Yes, that's
to
it.
surprise people. You want to see people to go, he doesn't look like that. And then you show them that you are. You want them to think, oh, he's just a normal guy, but no, he's really muscular. And nature wasn't giving to you, so you're going to go out and grab it. I love that attitude as it's written down here, Steve. It's really, really cool. It's a kind of motivational thing, isn't it?
Actually, I feel like a body modification. You get a tattoo, I get a Royce. That's the point.
Yeah. I mean, we could do it in music. I talked to Steve in the pre-show. I said about being in the moment, just focusing on one thing for a few seconds and just do some crazy fucking weights or whatever else. And people don't always understand it. We might even do a show on it later on. You mentioned Lev, and you mentioned coming
Yes.
on to evolutionary. So talk a bit, because you even said the word yourself, the evolutionary community. What's it been like for you coming onto the evolutionary site? How's that been for you as an experience?
I believe that it's a very supportive group of people, actually, because you get answers to many of your questions. They can guide you on the correct protocol. They can really help you on what you're going to do. You set your goals, and then they will help you with both with the macros of diet and both with the substances. They explain you the correct mix of substances as well. And it's pretty good. They see actually it's I mean for example, I do play the guitar, okay? I have a community of guitar players, and it's nice to talk about guitars with that people. And it's not easy to talk about Royce with people, because if you walk on the street, you see a jacket person, I mean, he will never tell you that he's got, you know, he's got Royce, okay? But it's very nice to have this kind of speech with someone on the internet that can help you and tell you, okay, I use Roid, I help you because I know what I'm doing. That's the point.
Good, good. And that's what we like to hear for sure. We're an international community, as I told you when we were messaging. We're an international community of people from all over the world for sure. So it's really great to have you on. Tell us before we let you go about Italy a little bit. Now, a lot of Americans think that Italians sit around eating pizza, pasta, and lasagna all
I
day.
play the mandolino as
And they're all in the
well.
mafia. Don't forget the mafia. You guys are all in the mafia and the
I
mob.
have the
Sicily.
mustache. I have the mustache. Come on.
So can you correct some of the
Steve, don't forget, I'm the one that's called
Yeah, exactly.
Mobster.
Correct some of the misconceptions about Italians. How often do you guys actually eat like pizza and lasagna and stuff like that? Is that something
So
just once a
actually,
year or what? Once a month?
it's a common sense actually, but we do eat a lot. I mean, me personally, I love carbs, and I used to include a lot of pasta in my diet, more pasta than rice, because I mean, I'm not a Chinese person. I eat the rice, but I prefer pasta. And pizza, as often as we can, is considered my cheat meal. I mean, once a week, I do have pizza. And but I mean, the lack of living in Italy is the quality of the food you can get, and the variety of the
Yes.
food you can get. We have
Yes.
the best meat in the world from Tuscany. We have the best ham, the best salami, the best wine. I mean, best for what they say. I mean, I'm not saying that Italy is best and everything, but in general, the quality is very high here. So it's a lot actually, because your diet can be very, very tasty here. With a few bucks, you can get good quality meat, good quality pasta, good quality everything, also for filling your macros. And it's very
Steve,
nice.
I've got. I mean, what's the classic one, Steve? And I'm sure you've got some of these things in your house. I've got truffle oil here. I've got Lemoncino, limoncello, which are they have to come from either Spain or Italy. They have to. The quality of olive
Yes,
oil.
sure.
My daughter did a thing where you and I have done, Steve, the Blue Zones when we talked about the Mediterranean diet, And the fact of the matter is that I'm sure that you'll back us up on this, Simon. The locally produced local products that are super fucking organic, made for generations by one family. So when people go to Italy, they are amazed, as you said, at the quality. Steve does this on shows where we compare EU regulations and American regulations. There are products coming out of Italy, and this is, it's almost a trope. I don't care if it's a trope. If the quality of the food is so fucking amazing, it's because, again, there'll be one person that does the dried meats. One family that's been doing it for 200 years. Or this, you only go to this place for your Parmesan. Or you only go to that place for your olive oil. The older I get, the more of that stuff I like as well. So I love that. But is it the best diet for bodybuilding, maybe? How do you deal with that as an Italian?
Being a bodybuilder in Italy, you say?
More for you as an athlete, someone who wants to perform really highly. I can imagine the good pasta is great for carbs, but some of the food can be fatty, some of the food could be unhealthy, especially if you had too much. Are you burning it off with your activity, or do you, are you careful with your diet as well?
I am careful with my diet, and I know what I'm eating. Actually, I have unfortunately at lunch I have to go to the company restaurant because we have like a self-service restaurant in my working company. And actually, I can get anyhow some raw pasta, or raw rice, some chicken, some broccoli, so I can feel it correctly. Actually, the point is that I do count the calories more than the macros, and I try to eat as much protein as I can and have a good amount of carbs. That's it. I mean, I'm not so that much focused on calories. I mean, on counting the calories. The more I get, the more I want. And to me, it works pretty well, especially until I do the CrossFit game, because the CrossFit allowed me to burn all the excess.
Yes, so that's what I would
think. This kind of luck. And actually, the Mediterranean diet in Italy is considered very good in general. So
I think I would struggle with the gelato, Steve, the genuine Italian gelato / ice cream, because some of the flavors come out of Italy. The gelato, especially, which is somewhere in between, isn't it?
Well, the sad thing is it'd be even healthier than the healthiest thing in America. That's how bad our food quality is in America, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I understand.
Simone, one of the last questions we want to ask you as we finish the show, we always try to include one or two helpful tips, something you've learned along the journey for sports, for PEDs, for diet, or just in life, that you can pass on as a beneficial thought for the listeners, or something you can bring to the table. Listeners, this is what I've learned, and you can give that as an idea for the listeners just as we finish the show.
So what can I Where's say is just, let's say, just don't underestimate the pain and the soreness you feel, because sooner or later it's going to develop into an injury. And that's what I learned on myself. So I'm trying to work in this way. And both to do it, you have to find what you really like and do it. And get your approach, but do it. That's the point. The important thing is going to the gym because you like going to the gym, because you love going to the gym, because you prefer going to the gym instead of having a beer or having a cigarette, because you must, let's say, give there all your energy at the end of the day, and you have to go to sleep with your mind free because you train it and you like it training. That's the point, in my opinion.
Yeah. I think I agree, mate. I mean, honestly, we all three of us train in a different way for different reasons, but we must all love what we do, learn to love the hard shit, find something that makes you want to go to the gym. And like someone says, at the end of the day, one of the great things is that if you've worked really, really hard in the gym, it helps you in life. It keeps you fit when you might otherwise have broken down. You must listen to your body, exactly like you said. We can all train for injuries, but sometimes we need to do the rehab. We need to rest. We need to recover. So that's good, solid advice. And he's had to learn that in some ways the hard way. So make sure you apply that. Again, thank you so much for coming on from Italy, making our show truly international, truly diverse. Any, very quickly, just as we go, have you got any last word?
What can I say? So if you have the occasion, just visit Italy because it's worth. I've been to several places in the world. I've been to USA, India, China, almost Maldives Island, everywhere. But Italy is worth a visit, and I believe that a life is not enough for visiting our country. So if you pass to visit Italy, you can pay a visit. Maybe search me on the forum and we can arrange if you get close to my town. It's not a problem.
That would be lovely, mate. They do have some, again, for the listeners, there's some absolutely amazing scenery, especially in the mountains when you get outside the cities, and some of the best architecture in Rome, and a bunch of Turin, etc., etc. Even, of course, some of the best fucking sports cars in the world, arguably, again,
Yes, exactly.
absolutely, the Ferraris. Yeah, the
I live
Ferraris
very
and the Lamborghinis are world
I live
famous.
very close when they produce the sports car.
Beautiful. That's got to be really nice when they're driving the test cars. People come out of the factory. That'd be amazing. Listen, thank you again for coming onto the show. Please
Thank you,
note, as
guys.
always, we're not, that's all right, my friend. Please note, we are not doctors and your opinions are ours. It is our view based on our experience and views on the topic. Our podcasts are for informational purposes and entertainment only. The freedom of speech and the First Amendment applies.